Okay, we're going to continue on with our 2 Timothy, the study number 15. This is March the 17th, 2020. We just finished, we're going for the second half of that chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Tony, if you will, please. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come or will be present. I did a little research on this, the last days. I searched out the word last. That's used 62 times in the Old and New Testament. And I studied last days, but I went to the last days. It's used 3 times in the Old Testament and 4 times in the New Testament. That's 7. That doesn't really surprise me. But it's used 7 times. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 opens with a front view of the last days of this dispensation. And quite frankly, it does not make for enjoyable reading. And Tony, if you would bring up for us this evening 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Okay, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come or will be present. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boosters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to their knowledge of the truth. Tony, I'd like for you to also, we're going to look at a verse. Here's another set of verses very similar to this. Turn to 1 Timothy, chapter 4, 1 through 3. We had this some time ago, but 1 Timothy, chapter 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3 concerns apostasy in the confusing ecclesia during the present dispensation. And just a slight reminder here, the word apostasy, simply put, which I said this several times to you, is a falling away from the truth of the mystery of the body of Christ, which Christ is the head. And 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, we just read, concerns the condition of the world during the same time. 1 Timothy 4, 1, we read that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. While in 2 Timothy 3, 1, the main verse we're going to start with here, we read that in the last days perilous times shall come or perilous times will be present. And keep in mind that this is a record of the results of the evil one's influence as a prince of God of this world. Let's consider what Paul means by the phrase that is translated the last days. The word last, Strong's 2078, gives us the idea of being last or at the end of something. Example would be the end days or the final days. And going with what Paul wrote in his epistles, we interpret the last days to be the days toward the end of this present age. I'm referring to the days which will precede Christ's coming for his called out assembly. Now keep in mind that Paul hasn't given us any special understanding into the time of Christ's coming. But Paul did tell us in Romans 13:11, that Christ's coming was at the horizon and could take place at any time. And Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we believed. See, Paul's writing to the believers, and most of the people that read this passage are without giving any thought as to whom it might be referring to. They don't even give any thought as to the time that is involved. The time that Paul is referring to here is the last days. And Paul is commanding Timothy to know. He wants Timothy to understand, to comprehend exactly what will take place in the last days. This command, this responsibility that which Paul has written regarding the last days, for you and I to know about the awful or unusual conditions which will characterize the last days and will enable the Lord's people to be better prepared mentally, spiritually, physically, to endure any kind of hardship. It follows that in one sense, the last days will cover what we would almost refer to as an elastic period of time that would stretch all the way from shortly after the Ecclesia began until the actual coming of Christ. Tony, if you turn to Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Hebrews 1:2 says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed, heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged his sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. Now, again, now the time that Paul's referring to is the last days. The last days of what period of time? Is it the last days of the present earth with a new earth in view, as spoken in Peter? Spoken to us by his Son. I'm going to back up here. Paul uses the phrase, last days, in our verse, 2 Timothy 3:1, that we are looking at. And the fact that this phrase, these last days, is used in the epistle of Paul's, which was written about the same time as Hebrews, also favors Paul as the writer of Hebrews. Spoken to us by his Son, we must keep in mind that Jesus Christ has spoken two distinct messages. The first one is the gospel of the kingdom while Christ was here on earth that contained a pre-cross message. And the second message was the gospel of the grace of God, which was given while he was in heaven at the right hand of God, which is based on what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And if you have any questions to which of these two gospel messages that Paul is trying to get to the Hebrews to accept, let's turn, Tony, to Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are scattered, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The word will, Strong's 2307, is a noun. And I want you to be aware, I was looking this thing up and it says there are five nouns for the word will. This word plays an important role in Hebrews 10:10. It basically sets out God's will, God's purpose, God's reason, and God's design for sending his son into the world. The scriptures make it very clear that God's will and purpose is focused on his substitutionary death on the cross. According to Matthew, Luke, and Hebrews, God's will for Jesus was the cross. Jesus' death was necessary. Jesus' death was a requirement for him to be a mediator of the new covenant. According to the book of John, God's love of the world caused God to send his son Jesus Christ to this cross. The thought is that by means of God's will, namely Jesus Christ's death on the cross, you and I as believers have been and continue to be sanctified, cleansed, and set apart to God forever. For you and I to be knowledgeable on what Paul has written regarding the last days, and for you and I to know the terrible conditions which will describe the last days, and which will enable the Lord's people to be better prepared mentally, spiritually, and also physically, to endure the hardships that are ahead of them. The last days, as used here, are referring to the period of time just prior to Christ's coming, or last days of the dispensation of the mystery. Since we have seen from our other studies that in the comparison of Ephesians and Colossians as to doctrine of the mystery, and Philippians and 2 Timothy as a working out of the salvation or calling, then this must be speaking of the last days of the dispensation in question, the dispensation of the mystery. And to whom exactly is it referring to? Is it referring to the people of the world? Is it referring to those who have never had contact with Christianity? Is it referring to those who have chosen to believe the word of truth? Or is it referring to those who may have been exposed to the truth of the mystery and maybe even made a profession of truth? In both 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul speaks of the apostasy, which I had mentioned to you before. That's simply the truth of the mystery. They're just sort of wanting to change it. In 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed or giving attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In 2 Timothy 3:1, that's the verse we're looking at here. This know also that in the last days, perilous, in other words, perilous or hard times shall come or will be present. The connection between these two verses is more clearly seen when we know that the word perilous and the only other occurrence of that word is 54:67, which is translated perilous, and that is translated in Matthew as the word fierce, and is also linked with demon possession if you looked it up. Notice in our verse, 2 Timothy 3:1, what conditions will exist in the last days. Paul predicts that hard times will or shall be present. For the word hard is an adjective, if you look it up, and is used only 2 times in the New Testament. The other place was in Matthew chapter 8. And the word times, plural, designates a limited period of time or a short season. So Timothy, you and I, as members of his body, are commanded to know what the Lord has spoken through Paul about the last days. We need to recognize the phrase, the last days, as used by Paul, stretched from Paul's day until the coming of Christ for his body of believers. The last days, as used here, particularly refer to an indefinite period of time just prior to Christ's coming. Tony, if you bring in Ephesians 5, verse 16. Ephesians 5, verse 16. If we are in the last days, then what are we to be doing now? In Ephesians 5:16, Paul says that we are to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming, Strong's 1805, means we are to be continually buying out of our time. Listen to this. Every opportunity to edify, and I see a lot of you get using that word after somebody has spoken, edify and instruct one another in the truth for the mystery must be as real to others as our own very existence is. You and I are to be buying up every opportunity to serve the Lord. Paul is emphasizing the need to buy up every opportunity to mutually instruct one another, because the time is brief. The time when Christ will return for his own is coming nearer each day. Tony, if you would turn to Colossians chapter 4:4-6. Colossians 4:4-6, and I want to key in on verse 5. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest, or in other words, may I make it apparent, or I make it known, as I ought to speak. We are to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time that we have left. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every person. Think about that. That's a powerful instruction. That you may know how you are to answer every person. Paul is emphasizing the need for you and I as believers to buy up every opportunity we can to share the gospel with the lost. When you combine these two thoughts, time consists of a series of opportunities to teach the truth of the word to both the saved and the lost. Our walk is very, you and I, as body believers, is very important, not only for reward, but to win others. Paul speaks of this time as the last days. It is an extended period when there will be perilous times, or another way of putting it, it's going to be grievous times. So Paul's command here is putting the responsibility on Timothy and also onto you and I as believers. All right, let's move on down here. We're going to go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. 2 Timothy 3, 2. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. What a mouthful. In this verse, Paul begins a description of 8 different characteristics of humans in the last days. The Strong's word 444, translated men, has the article the, T-H-E, preceding it, and it could be translated the men, and the men is a generic word which includes both men and women, or all men. In other words, the entire human race. This will be the way men are prior to the coming of Christ. It tells us that these men will be lovers of self, and this word men literally means those who are self-lovers, or there are those individuals who focus their selfish love only on themselves, those who are thoroughly selfish. This is the only time this word lovers of self is used in the New Testament. Just for a comparison, these individuals who are self-lovers would be the complete opposite of those who are God-lovers. It tells us that, number 2, the second word, it tells us that during the last days, men will be lovers of money. Strong's 5366, meaning that they are very fond of having money, such as silver, gold, and would be very envious or jealous persons. The third word tells us that men during the last days will be boastful. I never heard anybody doing that. Strong's 213 could be translated arrogant, showy, or ritzy. Number the fourth word, Paul tells us that men and women will be the last days as haughty or proud, which literally means to be appearing above or better than others, or showing off above others, or arrogant. The fifth word in this is the word blasphemers, or evil, abusive speakers, cursers, that which is holy and slanderous. Paul speaks of himself as a blasphemer in 1 Timothy. In the last days, children will be disobedient to parents. Now, this thing of being disobedient to parents goes directly against the universal truth of God's word. The seventh word, during the last days, there will be those who will be ungrateful, which literally means of men and women who are very ungracious, unthankful. The eighth word, as the last days approach, men and women will be increasingly unholy, which means they will have a negative attitude toward God, toward God's word, and God's will. To be unholy means to be lacking in piety, or to be the opposite of what the Lord is. And on the other hand, the Lord's people and those who serve him are to be holy. After looking over the 8 descriptions that we have been given here in 2 Timothy 3:2 of what humans could turn out to be, we can identify 2 distinct groups of people. The first group are those who are totally wrapped up in themselves. They have a love for self and a love for money to waste on themselves. Their self-centered frame of mind expresses itself through arrogant and conceited boasting. The second group of humans is described by their failed or broken relations with each other. Their children, they are rebellious to their parents. They lack a sense of gratitude and are unholy. The next verse we're going to go to is 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers are those that are good. Again, number 9. Without natural affection, in the last days, humans will be without natural affection. Really, these are sad words. Yet we see the characteristics spreading among us as men and women abandon their God-appointed responsibilities in their home. Truth breakers. In the last days, humans will not be interested in working out agreements or settling something peaceably. False accusers, or another word would be slanderers, or the kind of people who are backbiters or character assassins. Incontinent, without self-control. This indicates that people will be lacking their strength necessary for self-control, which means that they will be out of control. The 13th word, fierce. In the last days, humans will be crude, untamed, fierce like animals, sort of implying the fierceness of these humans. The 14th word, despisers of those that are good. This is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. Paul describes to us that in the last days, humans will not be lovers of good, or in the last days, they will hate everything that is good, including God. In other words, Paul is telling us that there will be men who will love the opposite of what is good, that which is evil and wicked. Let's go to our next verse in 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Traitors, this word is used 3 times in the New Testament. In the last days, men will be traitors. That literally means that they will give up or give over before the word is used here. According to what Paul is saying in our verse, traitors and betrayers will increase in the last days. The word heady, H-E-A-D-Y, simply means to be headstrong. Paul's epistles especially contain many warnings against this. Haughty frame of mind that humans will show up during the last days. Humans are the headstrong and haughty, clearly are self-centered, and they are not God-centered. The 17th word is high-minded or conceited. Paul says that in the last days, humans will be conceited. It means that these humans have been conceited and continue to be conceited, puffed up, or proud. When you study this word out, this is interesting because I found this. When you study this word out, it has a basic idea of smoke. And perhaps the meaning of conceit comes from being wrapped in the gases of the rising smoke and as a result are being blinded to one's own fineness. Tony, if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of the words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising. Paul says that if a person who teaches other than the sound words that were given Paul by Jesus Christ, that the person is conceited and knows nothing. When this was originally written, it was written in the passive voice used in this verse and suggests that an outside person, like the evil one, Satan, is the one who will produce the conceit during the last days. 18th word. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Paul is really saying here is that humans in the last days will be lovers of pleasure, more to a greater extent, to a higher degree, than they will be lovers of God. It's rather difficult for humans to focus their love on pleasure and God at the same time. When you really think about it, congregations have largely gone into entertainment business. And because they have drawn many of this approach, they now keep entertaining them to keep them coming. The teaching of God's Word, sad to say, is no longer the great attraction. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy 3, 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. Of course, all the world is religious, but how many individuals really experience the mighty power of true godliness? Well, what does the world know about the enormous spiritual power that true godliness uses, except as they are affected by the godliness of sincere believers? For on every hand we see how true godliness convicts the lost, so that they are either angered by it or will trust Christ for salvation as the truth is presented to them. Having a form of godliness, having a form means that the external shape and appearance of godliness gives us the thought of holding on or possessing and going through all the external rituals and symbols that are associated with religious groups today. The world has religion, but the world does not really know Christ Jesus. The world has a form, but not really the reality. The word godliness involves reverence and devotion toward God. Well, here in our verse, godliness is only an empty form, but Paul says that the false teachers are men who are the ones thinking that godliness is gain. The word thinking, supposing, or assuming, and the word gain basically means to supply oneself or to acquire. When you combine or put together these two words and their meanings, Paul is saying that the false teachers think, suppose, or imagine that godliness, godlikeness, and actions conforming to God's will is a way to gain or acquire and obtain extra money. The world has religion, but the world doesn't really know Christ Jesus. They have the form, but not the reality. May the power of godliness be evident in our relationships with all those with whom we come in contact with. But denying the power thereof, what does Paul mean by the statement, having denied the power of godliness? The word that is translated denied means to disown, to disclaim, or to reject. The most realistic interpretation of this statement would be that they had denied the power of the gospel of Christ. And it strongly suggests that at a point in time, in the past, when the evil one blinded them to deny the gospel and his power. Paul writes in Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel message is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes in harmony with the power of godliness. And those individuals whom the power of the gospel has been affected will make known the evidence of the power of godliness in their daily living. The last note in our verse, 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is the only time this word turn away is used in the New Testament. It's Strong 665. Its meaning of turn away, or turn from, or at least to avoid. Paul tells us to turn away from those characteristics and to avoid head-on conflicts with backsliders or any disbeliever that Paul has described in this passage. Unfortunately, the facts are that Paul indicates that these last day characteristics are not necessarily all futuristic, but actually the facts had been and were taking place as Paul writes to Timothy. The evidence that is given suggests that these formal followers who had denied the power of godliness were undoubtedly trying to give Timothy and the believers in Ephesus a bad time. These people were what you call religious rebels, men who had obviously been confronted with the truth of the gospel, and they chose to turn it down. That's it for tonight, gang. I thank you for listening. And Tony, thank you for posting the scriptures this evening. And I'm going to hang off here and get a drink of water.